Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. The moderator has left the conference.
Hello? Oh, whoa. Now it was different. Wow. Okay. Hi, guys. I don't know what was going on before. I was talking to myself for a long time. Okay. Thank you. Good thing I have an assistant here today. So I'm not sure, you guys, if this recorded or if it will let me record again. It says it is. We'll see what happens. I'm going to jump into Facebook group for a second. It's working. Okay, good. You hear music. Jenny couldn't hear either. Stacy couldn't hear. Stacy, Jamie, Jenny, can you hear me? Did you guys hear anything I said is what I want to know? Or do you want to just do Q&A? I think here's what, let me see what you're saying. You're in. You heard nothing before. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, thanks for hanging on for so long. So you guys, what I was talking about was sort of this, the next step in adding in foods post phase one, and how we are adding in one food per day after we've eliminated all of the foods that are more difficult on our bodies, that slow and inhibit healing, that we talked about last week. Then I just quickly ran through things that are on the tested list that you might see in your plan, and as you're kind of working through the phases and see them there, wonder, well, should I add that or should I not add that? And really quickly, the ones that we're definitely not going to do are cane sugar, dairy products, corn, which we talked about last week. And I mentioned, if you're a person that has a difficulty losing weight, a thyroid condition, a lot of bloating, a lot of digestive direct issues, then the grains are things that we're not going to do right away. And we're not going to do the gluten-containing grains. You know, those are sort of off the table, but things like gluten-free oats and sprouted grains like quinoa and rice and amaranth and millet and buckwheat could be part of your plan as you get going forward. But for most people, it's most beneficial to not do those and to not do the legumes for this initial first period. And then I think I mentioned that if you are concerned with toxins and specifically mercury, then you would want to wait on something like tuna. Okay. All right. So hopefully you can also just look into the packet if you have more specific questions on the how-to method for adding in things day by day. So recap really quick. Make sure you're doing your food log. If you haven't filled out a symptom survey in a while to monitor your progress, then do that again. If you did one before you started the whole process, that's fine, and then I want you to do one about phase three, just so that we can keep monitoring these things. Okay, So what else we're going to talk about today is how now that we're much more educated on knowing that certain foods are complementary or even more targeted towards healing certain systems in our body, what we're really all focusing on right now are what are these foods and herbs and things that are more focused on the digestive system, since that is sort of one of our primary steps in the program. And then we'll get into these other systems of the body and other mechanisms for healing as we keep moving forward. And so last week we talked about, I think mostly it was a lot of the fruits, and then I was just emphasizing how sweet potatoes are very good for food sensitivities, how aloe is very good from the aloe leaf, and then also the celery, right, the celery juice. And I see some questions or some stuff going on in the Facebook group about celery, and we can talk about that as well again if you guys want to. But first I want to go through a little bit more of a list on other strong, powerful digestive foods that are healing for a plethora of things, you know, including bloating, including gas, including specific digestive conditions like IBS or Crohn's, and then, of course, just healing the lining. The other thing that these foods do is really help to improve the movement, the peristaltic movement of your gut, knowing that all of these organs are muscles and they need to be worked. They need to be exercised so that you can process things in and out. So you're not only pulling the nutrients out of the foods you consume that are good, but you're working out of your system in the way that we should eliminate them through regular bowel movements in a healthy process as well. Okay, so if you guys want to take notes on this, then that's fine, but let's start out with cucumber. So cucumber is a cooling food. You know, it's a really good one to juice. It's a really good one for smoothies. It's a really good one, I would say, eat it raw because it is a cooling food, and it has such a high water content that it doesn't turn out well for one, taste good for two, or nutritionally do as much three if you heat it. If you ever have a fever, like cucumber is very cooling. It'll bring your temperature down. But it's another really good one digestively. And cucumber actually is awesome because it goes into your liver and gets it to open itself up. And so then anything else that you're taking in after that, especially if it's a cleansing food, is excellent to pair with cucumber to really flush the liver. But on its own, definitely a cooling food and a digestive healer. So, and then we have this whole group of foods that I know gets a lot of blame sometimes in the cruciferous vegetable family. So, I mean, you could probably go to 45 blogs out there right now and they'd be like, don't eat, you know, broccoli and cauliflower because it will give you gas. And perhaps it will, and then as we know now, maybe those foods are doing something else to try to get rid of your gas overall in the first place. But these foods are super, super powerful. So I'm going to talk a little bit about broccoli, a little bit about cauliflower, a little bit about cabbage. So let's start with cauliflower because this one is very common. We can get it in so many ways. We're all loving to rice it, et cetera. So it does opposite of what all the, you know, hype out there says, that it slows down your thyroid and endocrine system, but it actually is helping your thyroid and endocrine system, helping to stave off viruses that are really behind issues like thyroiditis. It actually is uniquely able to be easily digested in its raw state, which is ideal because that gives you the best chance at pulling all the good stuff out of it, the potential of what it has to offer. So if you like it cooked, that doesn't mean you can't cook it. It's just one of these kind of cool facts to know, like, hey, if you do eat the cauliflower raw, it's really healthy for you, and you don't have to eat a ton of it. Remember, if you're in the process of adding things that you didn't have before or eating something that you thought was giving you gas or bloating before, just take small amounts and work yourself into it because we know that it's a positive thing. Now, broccoli actually has benefits to eating raw and heated in different reasons for each way. So don't feel bad about either way. I personally like steamed broccoli the most, but either way contains bioavailable trace minerals that will enhance all body systems and especially your entire immune system. So if you're listening to this call, then you definitely want to enhance your immune system. We know that it's all related, and we want to overcome our food sensitivities. So it's like broccoli is like a multivitamin. So if you don't take a multivitamin, just eat broccoli. Now, Brussels sprouts aren't tested on wheat, and that's okay because we'll get to them, or maybe you have if you're further along. But cabbage definitely is, and we've talked about cabbage, you know, being great for a lettuce cup or sautéing it or putting it in a soup. It's actually really, really good for supporting your joints and known to be able to reverse osteoporosis. So you want to have it consistently. These are things that you're concerned with. It helps to lower cholesterol. It helps to increase good cholesterol. And, again, it's another one that is helpful to purify the liver and your spleen. And if you remember me in my initial chat about this virus that's at the root of a lot of health problems, Epstein-Barr, that settles in your liver and or spleen. So we want to remember that cabbage is going to be a very powerful food for battling back from that. And then red cabbage is a little bit different. So we know it has this red-purple color, and it has more phytochemicals that make it very rejuvenating, and we talk about the liver, it can even help reverse scar tissue from your liver. So all of these foods in this family are excellent, detoxifiers certainly, full of nutrients, and a really good food pairing is apples with red cabbage eaten together to battle parasites, viruses, and worms and bacteria. So if you have any concern at all with an imbalanced gut, like not enough good bacteria, too much bad parasites, you need to cleanse, try doing purple cabbage and apples. I've made this recipe in my Vitamix where I simply just put, you know, some chopped up red cabbage, slices of apple. Remember, do the red apples if you can. And maybe a little bit of water. I added parsley and cilantro. You could do ginger root. But try doing that together for like a raw cold salad and really amping up the power of healing when you pair those together. Next is leafy greens. So this is going to include all of our unique leafy greens. Kale would have been considered in that family that we just finished discussing. So that's another one to really, you know, continue to work into your plan. But other leafy greens would be romaine, would be arugula, mustard greens, and green leafy lettuce, red leafy lettuce, bib lettuce, so all of those. So this is what's really interesting is one thing it does is it helps to reverse protein-related diseases, and secondly, it's leafy greens are great for overall creating an alkaline environment in your body, but especially your lymphatic system. So here's what we didn't used to know. You guys have heard me talk about drink alkaline water. Make sure you're alkaline. But actually, there's more than just being alkaline digestively. So we want to make every system leading towards alkaline. Eating leafy greens, that is going to really help flush the lymphatic system. So, you know, lymphatic system, another way to really target that is the dry brushing, skin brushing, and then rebounding, jumping. We do jump Pilates, these kind of things where you're actually physically moving the lymph as well. But doing lots of leafy greens will help you dietary on that front. The next one is potatoes, and I love this because we all have these preconceived notions that potatoes you know, are bad because they're starchy and such, but they're not. Do make sure that you're going for organic when you're looking for potatoes. And just like with the sweet potatoes, there's a lot of powerful healing properties from if you bake them or steam them, make extra, and then put them in your fridge, keep them cold, and then eat them again with your greens. So it helps absorb more nutrients from those other foods. And I want you to remember that potatoes are antiviral, antifungal, antibacterial. So we all kind of are seeing patterns. That's awesome. And I think that I need a cleanse, or I think that I might have heavy metals or parasites or things like that. All of this is connected. So these foods have multi-layers of benefits. Okay, this is so interesting, but potatoes are also well known to help absorb environmental toxins from things like your wireless internet signals, our cell phones, and just technology in general. And if you regularly consume the potatoes, it helps to absorb those more radiation types and wireless signals and take them out of your body. You can even cut a potato and keep it in your kitchen, leave it out for a week or so, and it will absorb things that way from your house. But just make sure you don't eat that potato because it's doing, you know, the work of what the potatoes would do inside of you as well. The next one is radishes. So radishes, again, are not directly tested on our plan, but we get to them later when we can. And red radishes, black radishes, and really the superpower of radishes is in the green. So don't throw away the stems. That's the amazing healthy part, is along with the colorful piece. You know, eating fresh or cooked, don't leave those out. And then I want to touch on sprouts and microgreens and talk a little bit about elevated probiotics. So sprouts and microgreens are superfoods, and you want to make sure that if you're consuming sprouts or microgreens, that they are organic and that they are raw. So you don't want to cook them. Now, you'll see that there are many different kinds of sprouts, everything from lentil sprouts, broccoli sprouts, kale sprouts, sunflower sprouts, pea shoots. You might see it called micro kale, on and on and on. Red cloverleaf sprouts. They're all excellent. They're all very good. They help to balance progesterone and estrogen and testosterone in our bodies. So obviously anything endocrine, so supporting adrenal glands, supporting the thyroid, very high in mineral salts. And so whenever we think of mineral salts, we can think of the central nervous system and our brain. So you're concerned with your brain and heavy metals can be stored in grain, and sprouts again are going to help with that. And this can be really high in trace minerals like iron and iodine and selenium and zinc and sulfur. Very, very powerful foods, chock full of minerals. So, you know, when you look for these sprouts, I would just add them to like a salad, add them into a vegetable dish. Or you certainly can juice them. That works as well. A recipe that will improve eyesight that uses sprouts would be cucumber, like we talked about already. Cucumber can amplify your ability to see better even at night. So make sure you're not eating raw cucumber. You don't want to spray them with water on your counter. But and they have so many powerful properties that it's something that I think is often overlooked because it's like a, you know, it's a little sprout. You might not think of it as much as a regular vegetable or fruit. But try to find these at your farmer's market, or try to find these in the produce section or health food store, and grab a variety of them and eat them generously. Try to get them many times a week into your diet. And if you're eating about on your protocol right now, go ahead and add them. Go ahead and do it right away because they're so heavy on your weight for things like this. when we know that they could be helping us so much more. Right? When we talk about sprouts and when we talk about these like fresh herb things from gardens and farmers markets, there's something that is very powerful in eating those kind of things straight from the earth. So when we get them straight from the farmer, straight from our garden, or we're growing them ourselves, there is something that we can call elevated biotics. When you consume them without washing them, you might be worried about things growing on top, but the things that are growing on top are enhanced by the sun, and you will do a lifetime of good by any time that you can consume something like this without washing it. So maybe you're at a farmer's market and you can get some kale or an apple or some sprouts. Try to get a good source that you know as often as possible where you're consuming it without washing it off, because on that top surface layer is what we call elevated biotics, which are the best probiotics you could ever consume. They could never match in a pill or in a bottle, and also prebiotics that will go ahead and go in and feed more of a good bacteria so that you're keeping that sex balance digestively inside. Okay, so lentil, broccoli, microkale, sunflower, fenugreek is another one. And then I did talk, I think, about cilantro last time. So even though cilantro isn't on our protocol, that is a very powerful heavy metal cleanser. So I want you guys to do cilantro as often as possible. And then ginger is another digestive healer. So best way for using ginger root would be to chop off a piece of it and keep water over it and drink ginger tea, or to chop it up and mix it into a stir fry, or to put it in a smoothie. Okay, so does anyone on this call have any questions from anything we've talked through so far, anything else separately going on? I'm going to scroll through Facebook because I know there were some comments, questions about celery. Stacy's asking, is anyone doing the celery yet, even though it was a reactor? Oh, this is interesting. Jenny is doing it. Okay, you started with 8 ounces. Doing fine now. Okay, so Jenny's question, one head of celery makes a little over 16 ounces. Do you recommend we juice to order instead of prepare a couple of batches? In advance. Okay, so, no. I know that it's easier to do it that way when you make a batch ahead. But that's not what you want. So what you really want is to juice the amount that you're going to drink right away. So I know it takes a lot. It does take about a bundle of celery to make 16 ounces. But that's the right properties and the healing powers. Do it like that versus in another form. So if you're going to do another juice and you want to, you know, bad thing, this is specifically for someone that not wanting the oxidation. What else? I'm kind of curious to see how people are feeling with it. Stacy's question, you have me on no beans, legumes, are lentils included in that group? Right, yeah, lentils are a legume. So, and the reason for this is that they are a combination protein and carb and harder to digest, and we just don't want anything that's going to tax the system. We want everything to be easy peasy for now. So the question is, when would they be allowed back in? I would say when you're feeling like you're getting the results that you want, your stomach's feeling really good. I know, Casey, you told me you didn't have like so many digestive feeling symptoms, but I wouldn't want you to add them in until you've been seeing like a movement in the direction that you want to be going for your results. So typically that would be, I would say probably in the second to third month But it just depends. So, I mean, ask me when you, because I think you haven't even started yet, so ask me again after you've gotten, like, at least into the first 5 phases. Okay. Sorry, guys, I have a cold or something going on today. Does anyone on the line have a question that they would like to ask right now? If you do, press star 2 and raise your hand. Okay. Jenny, I'm going to unmute you. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Jody. How's it going?
Good. How's the celery juice?
Pretty good. I think so far so good. I definitely haven't had the same type of shooting pains that I did in the beginning, so hopefully it's working.
So that's really interesting. So how many days did you have that, or was it just one? Or
The first 2 days I noticed it, definitely sooner, probably like within 3 hours of having it, and then mm-hmm. I had it again and I'm fine, but it was only, I had 16 ounces today and I was okay. So I think in the beginning, I don't know whether it was related or not, but it definitely felt a little, it felt a little bit like just like a shooting pain in my stomach, but nothing that bad.
Mm-hmm. That's super cool. I'm so glad you're doing it. Yeah. And what's your question?
Oh, okay. So I know that you gave us a little recap on our site, and I just was I heard that you mentioned something about DDT in correlation to eczema, and so I just wanted to follow up. Is that pesticides or is that something else?
Yeah. Sure. Good question. Yeah. So one of the root causes of psoriasis and eczema, these like difficult lingering skin conditions, is DDT. Which is what was very well spread and used to kill mosquitoes across the U.S. And the problem was that nobody knew how bad it was for us. And then the food industry started to promote it as a supplement, and they would sell it, like, in the grocery stores and tell mothers to spray it on their apples to keep, you know, the bugs away and make it better for you. And so that's where all this started. And then there used to be these trucks. I don't know. It depends. Like, I know in the South it was very common for them there to be mosquito trucks, and they would drive down the streets and spray DDT just out to the open air. And it would look like it would look like a soapy foamy material, and the little kids would ride their bikes after it and play in it. And I mean, it's horrible. And so that's it's freaking scary. So that's where a lot of the stuff began when they started to use that chemical to try to kill us bugs and mosquitoes. And then, of course, people didn't know the danger. And especially if they're told to eat it with their food, you can see that's going to be problematic. And so the thing with DDT is that it is very, very stubborn and very resistant to be pulled out of you. And that's why so many people see it passed down. So if you have eczema, if you have psoriasis, it's not like you were chasing after a mosquito truck, but it could have been your great-great-grandmother or grandfather or somebody in your relative's history that did have that exposure and that did get it. And like we say, if nobody knew how bad it was, first of all, then nobody knew how to eat to heal, eat to cleanse, and we know it's resistant, it's likely, you know, carried over generation after generation. And that's why sometimes it's really frustrating and you're like, how did I get this? Does that answer
that? It's kind of, yeah, totally. I was just curious. It's kind of like smoking before anybody thought it was bad. So that answers that. Just to the other question I had was about, you had mentioned a diet of low fat. I just wanted to check in and make sure that, like, avocado and nuts, are those still okay to put in, or would you say in moderation?
Yeah, I think for sure, like, knowing you and, like, knowing where you're at, I think, I mean, avocados are fine. And even if someone has, like, a pretty severe healing crisis condition, they're still going to eat certain fats. And of those, the best types would be avocado and they would be coconut and those type of foods.
Yep.
And, like, oils and things. Nuts can be here and there for certain people, but for you, they'd be fine. It's more about really, 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 really amping up plants, like fruits and vegetables and herbs, and minimizing, like, you know, everyone in our country eats so much protein. And it's not that it's, if you can get a good source, it's good. But if you can really, like, shift the balance of how much of, like, vegetable, plant-based fruit, those type of things, you're going to flush your system with so many healing properties versus anything, like, you know, we have to have proteins and we have to have fats. It's just like the sort of like when we look at macronutrients, like what percentage here or there. But fat, I mean, low fat would still include avocado. It would still include nuts. It's just, hey, maybe you don't need to eat protein every day. Maybe you have it a couple times a week, or maybe you have more than one meatless Monday. That's more of what I would be saying for you.
Okay, that sounds great then, because I was like, I feel like I'm still on the right track with that, but I just wanted to make sure. And then the last one, or sort of second to last one, is about sugar. So I haven't added in any type of sugar, like any honey or maple syrup or anything like that. And I'm just wondering, is, like, when I finally do decide to do that, because I can now, I'm in that reintroduction phase for sugar for the candida thing. Would you say, like, honey is any better than maple syrup, or would you still say, like, as long as I do just a little bit in moderation, am I okay? I just want to make sure that if I do travel down that route, I don't go too crazy.
No, you won't. So, actually, no. Honey is what you should eat. I would recommend it, in fact. Raw.
Okay.
Raw honey. Yeah, raw honey is going to be super good for you. If you want to add it to, you know, smoothies or teas or, I don't know, anything you're flavoring. I would say, yeah, I mean, maple would be all right because it's from a real food. But honey is the real healing one. You know, and otherwise when you're looking at sugars, I mean, the ones out there would be like sugar from a coconut or sugar from stevia or, you know, some of these others, but honey would be the best. And you don't need to wait. So, yeah, that we're learning more about
honey. It is.
Yeah, honey it is. Go do it.
Okay, wonderful. And then the last one, you mentioned cabbage and helping it with or how it can help with osteoporosis or joint pain. Do you have any other recommendations for foods to eat for somebody who has osteoporosis? And that's not me.
Well, I would say lots of vitamin C. And I would definitely do sulfur. Now, vitamin D is a little bit, I mean, it's good. But if you're doing vitamin D, you want to make sure that you're taking it with potassium, K2.
Okay.
That would be a tip. Let me see. What else? Do you think this is for you or this is not for you?
No. It's my mom. So she had breast cancer, and she just now they're saying that she has osteoporosis because there's this pill that they had her take, and a lot of the warning signs with this pill is that it can actually jumpstart osteoporosis. So I just actually found out about that. So when I heard you say that, I was like, I wonder if there's anything else that, you know, is, and I know it's not really related, but just seeing if there's anything else that you might recommend.
Yeah. Yeah. One would be melon. So any kind of melon, like cantaloupe, honeydew, watermelon, all of those. I think last week I talked about how those are sort of pre-digested as well, so they're super easy for your body to take in. I do those. And then oranges, of course, and tangerines for the vitamin C. Or clementines, or, you know, any of those varieties of the orange-type family. And the other one is, I think it's a vegetable, but I was going to say. Besides the cabbage, Jenny, I would say any of those cruciferous, any of the cruciferous ones, would be super helpful. And does she like do smoothies?
Yeah, she loves to do that. So she could probably put that in there somehow, just raw or frozen or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, my mom had breast cancer, too, and she did a lot of the chemicals. So I think that, you know, lots of cilantro and lots of spirulina.
Oh, okay.
Would be good for just overall cleansing, because that's always going to be a thing if we, you know, take in chemicals in that regard.
That's all. Thank you for answering that. I know it's kind of off guard, so
that's
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Sure. Anything else?
That is everything. I asked so many questions, so thank you so much. I'll leave it open for anybody else.
Okay. No worries. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Jody. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Jamie. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Jody.
Hi.
Jenny and I just won't leave you alone.
Hey, I love a learner.
So my quick question is about, you know, we're, I guess, a little bit further along than the rest of this group, and since we started in January, and you told us to start adding back in the yellow foods. I've only added in one, which was bananas, and I was fine for the first, like, two or so days, and then I had a horrible eczema outbreak on both of my arms, both of my forearms. And my first question is, what do you recommend doing to help heal that, like, externally, because it gets really itchy? I've been putting on just some almond oil that I have that's good for skin. I've been continuing to eat the bananas, though, and it seems to be sort of, you know, maybe scabbing and going away. But that's the first question, is what do you recommend to do in the meantime to heal it while we're working through this?
Yeah, really good. I would put aloe on it, like from the leaf.
Okay.
Yeah, like just like
to get like a little aloe plant.
Yeah, like an aloe plant, and I would consume it as well for the soothing internally, but also on topical for sure. And you know what's really interesting about that is, the thing with eczema and psoriasis, remember how I just was talking to Jenny about how it's pretty resilient and resistant? So when you start to eat in a way that is targeting these things to heal, the way that you'll see it heal is it will cycle. So it'll cycle, it will come back. So I was really glad when you said that you had a flare-up, because it means that you're getting to what you need to get to. So don't freak out and think something's wrong. But, yeah, it's going to cycle, and it should predominantly go away for a couple weeks, and then it may come back and then go away and then come back and then go away. But every time it should be less of a flare.
Okay. So even though I had a flare-up, you're saying still keep adding in other yellows as well.
Mhm.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the only one you've done so far?
Yeah, because we ended up going away and we didn't want to add anything new while we were traveling. But I was going to add in celery and ginger next.
Oh, perfect. Yes, do that.
And then coconut is a yellow for me. Are there health benefits to coconut, and should I add that one?
Yes, definitely there are health benefits to coconut. Like I said, that's one of the best fats to use. And, yeah,
what form do you recommend adding it?
I would do the oil, and I would do the water, and I would do, if you can find, like, the meat of the coconut, where you don't have to, like, buy the real whole coconut, because you need, like, literally a machete to cut that open. I don't want you to hurt yourself or anything. But if you can get, like, just the coconut meat, it's amazing for, like, a smoothie or, like, that banana ice cream. It really works super good for that. So, yeah, definitely do the coconut. You know, and if you guys are on here listening and coconut right now is the reactor for you, that we're just kind of still in the process of easing in to, like, what's going to work for you to get symptoms cleared away and then get to this kind of point where we're pulling back in things like your different reactors like the coconut. But, yeah, that's a good question. I would do it. I think you're fine to do it now.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Last quick question about aloe. You said to use it topically and to ingest it. How do you recommend ingesting it? Like the actual aloe plant, or like what form do you buy and what do you do?
Yeah, so I did do a video on this in my Pure Foodies group, but I'll tell you. Yeah, you can get a huge leaf or you can get a little mini plant with leaves. If you get the big leaf, just be careful because it's sharp, pointy like a cactus on the outside. You don't want to cut, you know, cut or poke yourself. But what I would do is if you get a big one is just cut off a segment of it and then slice the side, and it literally is just like gooey aloe in there, and you just scoop a spoonful out, and I would blend it because, I mean, you could just eat it, but it's, you know, like a gel. And the other way would be, like, just to blend it into your Vitamix or your blender with water and, like, some kind of citrus to make it real light tasting, like an orange or, like, grapefruit or lemon or lime. But if you go look in the Facebook group in there, just search in the search bar for aloe, and I made a recipe that tastes like an orange Julius.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else?
I think that's it for now.
Okay.
Thanks, Jody.
Yep. Thanks, Jamie. Okay. Anybody else right now on the call? I'll jump back in the Facebook group a second to see. Sorry about that first part, you guys. Yeah, just to recap, if it's celery juice, do it plain and drink it right away. But otherwise, it's okay if you want to make your juices ahead. I know that that's definitely a helpful tool. And, you know, when we buy them in the stores, they're obviously not just juiced and then immediately consumed all the time. So it is true that they should last for 2 to 3 days, raw, fresh pressed. Definitely keep juices as part of your program and in your plan. Okay. Anything else? Oh, that's my hand. So, okay, you guys, I don't see anything else for today. So I'll post a recording, and if you think of something after, then definitely, you know, just tag me, post your comments, and let's do a check-in. I want to see how everyone's doing and feeling so far with wherever you're at, okay? I will talk to you soon. Have a good rest of your day.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.